Unveiled with Niva Nessa, a Go Loud original podcast.
Hello, everyone. You're very welcome back to Unveiled, a Go Loud original podcast. And we have a lovely, lovely guest with us in today. We have Niamh O'Connor. It's very, very lovely to meet you in person. Have we met before?
No, I feel like
I've met you because I've followed you when you first were on TikTok, which would have been like COVID, like 2020, I think.
Known as Nevo.
So come here. I obviously know who you are and so does Nessa. But for people who don't know who you are, will you give us a little inside scoop on what you're all about?
Yeah. So I started TikTok during COVID in 2020, you're right. And I just started as kind of a joke and it kind of just blew up then over COVID. Then I started OnlyFans, went through that for like 2 years, I think I did.
You were the most successful Irish person on
OnlyFans. Yeah, I was. Yeah.
A hot ticket,
yeah. Yeah. And then I quit that. And now I'm going back to my roots. I changed my name from Nevo to Niamh O'Connor.
So Nevo's dead.
Yeah, Nevo's dead. She's dead and buried. I'm in my like reputation era now.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, she's gone. I think that was like I think it was affiliated with the OnlyFans. So I was like, right, just leave all of that because I'm kind of grown as a person now. Mm-hmm. Want to move on to bigger and better things. So that's where we're at now.
Fab. And how did you kind of start on social media? Was it just like you enjoyed doing TikTok and then it kind of led into OnlyFans? Like what was the whole...
Honestly, I think I uploaded a TikTok as a joke. Like it was not serious at all. And it blew up.
Went viral.
Yeah. And it's so addictive when you start social media and like people are giving you likes and comments and all. So I think it's an ego thing for everyone at the beginning, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's addictive.
Like validation.
Exactly.
Well, it?
It's addictive. And then it just spiraled from there. Now I got humbled very quickly. So it didn't stay positive for very long. But yeah, it was just totally accidental. It was never something that I ever thought that I'd do. But look, we're here.
So you mentioned that you did OnlyFans for 2 years and then you made the decision to kind of move away from that. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe just tell us a little bit about that journey and why you...
Yeah, so I started OnlyFans when I was, I believe, 22 or 23. Now, don't quote me on it. I'm bad at maths, even my own age. Yeah, I started it kind of during COVID and I was very young and very probably naive to the world. Mm-hmm. And look, I was super, super, super successful on it. But it came to a point where I realised... I don't know, I felt like I'd outgrown it and I felt like nobody will ever take me seriously as long as that's there. And it's unfortunate that that's the way the world is, but that is how it is. And I see myself as someone completely different now to who I was a couple of years ago. And I definitely want to be taken more seriously. Like every time that I say something, like whether it's political, whether it's just an opinion, the first thing people would say is, why listen to you? You have an OnlyFans. So I kind of sick. Yeah, I kind of got sick and tired of hearing that and was like, do you know what? I can be myself without having that. So now what can you say? I think it was out of spite really that I even quit it. I'm very like, I'm stubborn. So if people keep saying something to me, I'm like, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yeah. Like you said, there's like a bit of a stigma there. It's so frustrating because it's just like a really closed-minded view, isn't it? That there's a negative connotation with sex workers and things like that. It nearly forces you into a decision that you're like, right, well, I have to step away from that to be taken seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you said, it's the reality a lot of the time.
Which is really annoying, I think. I think that's just like an Irish perspective because I know people in the UK and I follow a lot of housewives and a lot of them do OnlyFans and it's so accepted. And they're like, yeah, girl, make your money, like whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But I definitely think in Ireland we can be so closed off to those things and it's just like the Catholic way in us.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I love following your TikTok because I always think you're very good with your opinions and you share a lot of things, you know, with politics and also stuff going on with Gaza and Palestine. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing young people who use their platform in that way. I mean, I try my best as well, but then you are open to scrutiny, aren't you?
So much.
The comments, like, and how do you handle that? Like, in terms of, like, do you find that difficult?
Yeah, it's really difficult because politics is like a subject that's quite hush hush. Like historically we've always been told that it's like don't discuss religion, don't discuss politics, but it's so important that young people are discussing politics. At the end of the day, young people need to understand politics. They need to be able to make informed decisions and have people like influencers discussing things. I think it's really, really important. So the scrutiny is really hard because no matter what you say, someone's going to disagree when it comes to politics, you know
100%.
What I mean? So it is really hard, and people can get really, really personal when it's, you know, something that you've said that they disagree with when it's political, and then they can tend to just hate you after that no matter what, even if you say 10 more things you agree with. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just think it's something that's so important that it's worth the scrutiny. Like, I love the fact that there's young girls and young boys watching me that maybe see my interest in politics and are like, you know what, actually politics is cool, and take an interest in it themselves. So even though it's hard, it's like, I think it's worth it for the sub, and I think it's something that more influencers need to be discussing and get rid of this like old school mindset of, oh, it's hush, you know what I mean?
Where did your interest come from in politics? Have you always just...
don't know. I was just born in China. I actually don't know. In sixth class, my teacher was like so into Irish history and was teaching us loads of Irish history, and it just grew from there. Like, don't get me wrong, if you ask me anything about world history, I cannot answer, but I can answer everything on Irish history.
That's,
you know what
jam.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it just became like a special interest. Like, I became obsessed with it. I tend to get obsessed with things for like periods of time, but like this one, I've just always been obsessed with it. It hasn't gone away. So
you could be obsessed with worse.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
So I know we were saying a lot of people might know you from social and things like that, and potentially Irish politics, it may seem, but I know you most recently from your, I suppose, stint in hospital, where you were really vocal and brought us all through along, and something absolutely horrific that happened to you, and more recently you were on Primetime as well, so maybe I'll just let you take that over and walk us through.
Yeah, so I got bum filler. Don't ask me why. I've had two BBLs, why do I need bum filler? But look, I'm a girl and I don't know, we do crazy things. So I got bum filler, and literally like 12 hours later got like really, really, really sick. Could not even get out of the bed. Like, oh my God, it was awful. It was literally, I was so, so ill. But I didn't actually realise how ill I was at the time. I was kind of saying, is it a tummy bug? Because there was a couple of different things going around. But then it got to the point where I couldn't walk on my leg, and it was only one side of like my bum was like black and blue. It was so bruised. So eventually then I decided to go to the hospital, and it was like super scary. There was like doctors and nurses running around me. They were telling me I had to have surgery. I was straight up into a ward, so I knew something was really wrong. Like, I didn't even have to wait in A&E for 2 seconds. So it ended up that I had cellulitis that was like really advanced and had like gone deep down into my tissues. And yeah.
Were you warned of this when you were getting the what is it called?
BBL filler.
Okay, BBL filler. I was like, ass shots. Yeah. BBL filler. Were you given the pre-care or the post-care? Was this flagged with you at all?
No.
Of the potential risks? No.
No.
So it wasn't necessarily on your radar?
No, I was not told of anything that can go wrong. In fact, I was actually told that it was 100% safe. Like, consistently told that it was 100% safe. And I think that's a misconception that a lot of girls, like so many girls are saying, you know, well, it's the safer alternative to surgery, when realistically, neither are safe. Like, you're putting a foreign body into your body. So there's no safe alternative.
No. And so what happened then when you were in hospital? Like, how long were you in there for?
Was this
the risk of sepsis on the cards? Yeah.
Yeah. So it had started, it had progressed into early sepsis. It didn't go to septic shock or anything, but sepsis is like diagnosed by like 2 out of 4 or 6 symptoms. So I had the symptoms of sepsis, but thankfully it was just caught in time that it didn't progress any further. But I was in there for almost 2 weeks, and it was really scary at the beginning because they put me on antibiotics and they weren't working. Like, my infection markers were just going up and up, like nothing was working. So they actually had to get infectious disease to come in.
Wow.
Yeah, and like redo all my medications. And then infectious disease gave me like really strong antibiotics and they worked. But I was in there for almost 2 weeks in total, which is a lot of time in a hospital.
I'm sure that had affected you mentally as well. Like, not like just to feel like that's like a near death experience at one point. Like, did you find that got in on your head?
Yeah. At the time, I didn't understand the severity of it because you're just wanting to get better. And then once you're better and you're thinking back and you're like, wow, like that was so bad. So it did really, really affect me mentally for ages afterwards, especially with being on so many heavy medications. I was taking like heavy, heavy painkillers, prescription painkillers that you can easily become addicted to. So it was a really rough process even after it, like coming off all them medications, my body being so out of sorts with all the antibiotics, and then obviously my bum being scarred and stuff. So it was really difficult to deal with mentally. Yeah. And look, I know a lot of people will say, well, you did that to yourself, but I don't know. I just feel like nobody asks for that when they go for filler. You know what I mean?
How are you feeling now?
Yeah, good now. Good. Like, obviously, it's still something that annoys me because I am scarred. There is a scar on my bum. And it's kind of annoying because it's like you go in to do something to make yourself feel better and you come out scarred for life. But yeah, it really put a lot of things into perspective for me. I would have been someone that often got things done just very willy-nilly, didn't think about the consequence. And now I think I have a whole different mindset. And I feel like, as well as that, I'm able to advocate for other girls. And I think had I not gone through that, I probably wouldn't have the mindset I have now. So although it's a curse, like, there's good things to be taken from it too.
Yeah, of course, a blessing with it, because yeah, you were able to, you finally got better. And Kamir, going back to like when you were in hospital, what was the response like online? Like, how were people reacting to it?
Overwhelmingly positive, which I was really shocked by, because like, I get scrutiny a lot of the time. Just look, people don't like what I have to say a lot of the time, which is fine. But sometimes I feel like people just jump on anything I say. So I was scared to even talk about that because people would be like, well, you did it to yourself. But overwhelmingly positive response. And yeah, I was really, really shocked by that. But people seem to really appreciate the honesty of just being open and honest and saying, look, this went wrong. I messed up. I'm sorry.
Well, that was one thing that I really wanted to applaud you on, because it takes a lot for someone to, you know, do something like that and then come on and be so raw and honest. And you were so good with even sharing like every day in the hospital, like your journey about it, which probably made a lot of young girls be like, oh God, right, this is something that we really need to consider, and we probably need to go to places that are obviously registered, or we'll probably get into it, like fillers in a few minutes. But do you think though, with your presence online, let's just say the likes of OnlyFans, is there a certain type of style of photos that you like? Did that influence you to get these fillers done, or was it just like a personal thing, or did that like impact a little bit?
So growing up, I like always had a fat, I grew up like we all did in the era of like Pagetree girls, you know, big boobs, like surgery. So growing up, I always had a fascination with like wanting to have work done, which is awful now looking back. I can see how bad that is, you know, but I feel like growing up in the early 2000s with like surgery being so prevalent on the cover of every single magazine, that was a big influence. And then I feel like social media was a huge influence, because when I started, people really, really, really took the piss out of how I looked. Like, they took the mick out of how I looked all the time. So I feel like that probably then got on top of me, and it was just a mixture of different things. People always say, do you think it was OnlyFans? But honestly, no, because my OnlyFans done really well before I had surgery. So it probably done better before I had surgery.
Yeah.
So I don't
like
think
the seed was planted already.
I don't think that was the influence. I think more so it was already there, and then what pushed me was trolls probably online.
Because
it was very heavy back in 2020 during COVID, during lockdown. People were bored. They had nothing else to do, so everyone was trolling everyone.
I feel like the biggest trolls after like that whole Bloggers Unveiled was the COVID trolls. I feel like they just came out of the woodwork and tattled. We don't even want to mention that horrible page and all the rest of the stuff that goes on, that they just like came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, because even like I have, what do I have done? I've Botox done, but like back in 2019, I would have got like half a mil on my lips.
Yeah.
But I would have never have had like an issue with my lips or ever thought they were small, only until I started being more present on social media and doing like these photo shoots and going away on these press trips and looking at, you know, these other UK influencers and American influencers, bloggers, whatever you want to call them. And they all kind of had their lips done. And I genuinely was influenced by them, because I was like, oh, well, I need to have my lips done now. So it is so easily done. And I totally relate to it as well. Like a couple of years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, I was also a different person. And like, it's mad when you're on social media, you're kind of open to everything. You're open to scrutiny. You can be quite vulnerable. You can be quite impressionable as well.
Yeah.
Especially when you're putting yourself out there. It's not like we go into an office every day and we have these people being like, oh, how'd you do in your job this week?
Yeah,
it's just like us. So we take every little comment as like face value, whether it's negative or positive. So it can be really hard. So I really love your honesty on that, because I can relate to that as well. But so your mind has totally changed on filler now completely.
Oh, totally. Like, obviously, am I going to sit here and say that I'll never get Botox ever again in my life? Realistically, I probably will at some point, but I'll always make sure that I go to a medic. That's all. Like, I'm not against having anything done. I'll never have filler again. It's just way too high risk, because the bacteria that I had, it doesn't go away. It just lies dormant and it can come back. So I'd never...
That's still in your system now?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. It's Staphylococcus aureus is the name of it. And it just, it doesn't go away. It just kind of lies dormant and then you're a higher risk then in the future. So I probably would never have filler again. But like when I'm 50, if I want to get a bit of Botox, I will. But I'll just make sure that I go to a medic. I think that's all I'm advocating for. It's not anti having work done.
Yeah.
Or being ashamed of having work done. It's just make sure that everybody makes safe choices and that the government makes sure that there's no other choice other than safe choices, you know?
Yeah.
So when you, I was going to say, I presume you've seen the RTÉ documentary, the recent one. I know you did because you were on Primetime talking about it. But like, I noticed there was kind of a eruption online saying that it was scaremongering. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I think people are very quick to say that because they've never experienced it themselves. I don't think there is enough scaremongering around this industry. Like, people doing a one-day course online and then injecting people is horrific. Like, it's terrible. It's a black market and there should be more scaremongering surrounding it. I think that that's a ridiculous statement. And I think people saying that are maybe trying to save face. Maybe they themselves are scared. They don't want to lose their business. But at the end of the day, this is people's lives, people's bodies. It's impressionable young girls. Like, these are the people that are going to be affected by this. Yeah. So I feel like there should be more scaremongering. People should be given all of the facts, all of the statistics on how often it goes wrong, because we're not given that. So yeah, I don't think it's scaremongering at all.
I think it would take somebody like you or even you, Niamh, or if I had a public platform, me, it's somebody relatable rather than like some man in a suit who's 60 being like, it's very dangerous. Nobody's going to take that serious. So I think while it's horrific you were to kind of go through that, it's so great that you're vocalising and using your platform now as like an educational piece. Hopefully that's going to connect with a more impressionable audience.
Yeah, you know? I actually had young girls message me that and say that it doesn't really mean anything when it's kind of an older man going, it's so dangerous. Whereas having young influencers talk about the danger of it, I think that's way more relatable. It's going to connect with so many more people.
Yeah, and transparency on it. Like,
exactly.
And I think you've totally... I'd say you've saved a lot of girls from probably this potential risk of...
So.
No, I 100%...
you definitely you have.
100% have. And that's why I applaud you on that. And your interview was so well done. And if anyone hasn't seen it, you should watch back. It was with Miriam O'Callaghan. You came across so well. And for people listening to the pod, I'm sure they'll understand and receive this. But so I've gotten Botox done before and I probably will get it done again. But I would be... I suppose when you get Botox done, it has to be regulated by a dentist or a doctor, and that's how it's administered. It has to be by one of those people. But is that the same for filler?
No. So at the moment in this country for filler, there's just no regulations. Like I can go online, get a certificate from the UK, do an online course, and then inject you. That is what's going on.
And is the filler that like you got in your ass like the same filler that somebody got in their jaw or something? Is it?
No, it's different filler. And because it's such a high volume, the risk of a complication is way higher. But the other thing is that these environments aren't medically sterile environments.
Yeah.
And it's they're using a cannula. Like they use a cannula and multiple injections. It needs to be medically sterile. So yeah, there's no regulations really surrounding filler. I know the government have said they're going to make some, so that's good. But right now, there's none.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like when you actually, when you call it out, you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's mad.
Yeah. And there is courses that you can do online for like a week, not even ever in person, just online.
Yeah.
And become an aesthetics practitioner from that course.
That came across really apparent on the documentary as well. And it was just like in out grand.
Yeah.
It's like doing your theory test or something. Do you know?
Exactly.
But only when you actually, like you say, deep and go to see what potentially could happen that you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And come here, I suppose like if a young girl was listening and considering filler, like what would you, I suppose, say to them?
I think it's so easy to sit and preach and go, you don't need it, you're perfect. Like, I think that's really easy to say. But I also think that doesn't get true to anyone. You know what I mean? Like, people have heard that time and time again. So if there was young girls watching, obviously, I don't think anybody needs any work done. And I think the best thing to do is to not have work done. Mm. But if your heart is set on having work done, just go to a medic, pay a little bit more and go to a doctor. Mm-hmm. And at least then, look, complications happen with doctors too, but they know how to handle them. Yeah. Because the problem with me was I was told that it was all normal, nothing was wrong, and it was allowed to escalate into a deep, deep, deep infection. Whereas if you go to a doctor, they're going to immediately be able to handle it.
Yeah.
So that'd be my advice. I think a lot of aesthetics practitioners are mad at me at the moment, and I want to make it clear I am not against aesthetics practitioners. Like, there are so many brilliant, good aesthetics practitioners, but unfortunately a few are ruining it for everybody because, as I said, these people aren't medically trained. They're just told how to put an injection into the skin and that's it. So when it comes to the aftermath, they're really not trained properly on how to recognize these things. I was told that like redness was normal when the number one sign of cellulitis is redness.
Oh, so my God.
You know what I mean? It's obvious that there's a complete lack of information when it comes to complications. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose you were saying there, have you like built up your confidence now? I mean, are you ever happy in your own skin? Yeah. Like a woman's Roman empire is telling me their weight and how they look. Yeah. It's probably an impossible question to answer. But I mean, in terms of like getting work done again, do you feel like you're at a point now in your confidence and in yourself that you won't need to go there again? Or
yeah. I think so, definitely. The only work that I would ever consider like having done is actually to remove the implants that I have.
Okay.
I've done a complete 360 in my mind. And yeah. I know people are going to go, how? Because you were like the most pro having work done 6 months ago. But a near-death experience.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Thank you.
That will change a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I want to like, I want to remove everything and just go back to the natural. Really? And I will do that one day, definitely. And that would be the only time I would consider. Obviously, look, I'll probably get Botox again in my life. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, but even if you decide down the line, actually want to, like, that's your prerogative. Yeah. You don't have to explain it.
As long as you get it done safely. But like the likes of filler surgery, absolutely not, unless it's to remove what has already been done.
It's so interesting because I was listening to I listened to it before, but I went back and listened to it yesterday because I knew we were going to have you on your Home My Drink interview with Charlie and Ellie. Yeah. And you were talking about, I think you'd had a BBL or something. Yeah. And they were like, I think you were saying the first one you got was like botched or something.
Oh, botched. This one is botched too. Look, girls, this is the thing. Every BBL you ever get will be botched because they take fat from one part of your body and put it in another part. Yeah, and the fat doesn't live there naturally.
No, yeah.
So honestly, my bum is giving cottage cheese now, but it's fine.
And I paid for it.
And I paid for it. I paid for a cottage cheese bum.
It does not look like a cottage cheese, baby girl.
And it's a bit square. It's like, I feel like messing with nature a lot of the time. It just doesn't work out.
You're like, I learned my lesson.
Yeah, I learned my lesson.
But it was interesting, like the girls were like, you know, would you think of the potential risk? And you were like, oh, I'm just like not that kind of person because if I think about it.
And I said that on record.
Yeah, but no, but like, honestly, like, I think that's what a lot of people, you know, I'm not saying that as in like, haha.
No,
but
no.
It's so funny now when you've been presented with that situation.
Yeah. I feel like I needed that. Totally, I needed the wake up call because I was so lax. Like, girls, I had 5 plastic surgeries in 1 year, like under anesthesia.
What did you get done?
I had a BBL. So BBL botched, BBL removed, BBL fixed, my ears and my boobs. And I actually like nearly died on the table when I got my boobs done. Your boobs is only meant to be like a 1 or 2 day hospital stay. I was in there for over a week, but I didn't find this out until, because it was in Turkey and it was all a language barrier.
Yeah.
So I didn't find this out until like ages after.
Do you think you thought it was grand? Like,
I woke up in the ICU like with tubes down my throat, and it never occurred to me like, Niamh, maybe don't do this again. I was just so honestly naive and stupid, and I'll be the first person to put my hands up and say that. And I really deeply regret, because I definitely done a lot of damage as well. Like, as much as I'm trying to fix that damage now, I was definitely an influence towards a lot of young people having worked on it. It's something I'm deeply ashamed of, and I apologise to everybody, but I take it all back.
Well, look, I really rate your transparency on that, because a lot of people won't go there with it, but it's a chain reaction, I'm sure, down somebody too. Like, everybody's influenced by everybody, so, you know.
Oh, 100%. And I just have to applaud you again on, like, your honesty and how, like, you've done, like, a full, what is it, 360 or 180?
360.
Is it?
No, 180.
We're bad at maths on this podcast, all of us.
Really bad. Really bad.
180 from the producer.
Because I just love how honest you are, and just that you're able to bring yourself back to, like, ground yourself again and be like, you know what, and you can say and apologise, oh, I probably did influence young girls. And because I can tell you something, Niamh, a lot of people would shy away and hide and not say a thing.
Yeah.
So I really love your stance on it now, and how vocal you are about it, and how you're able to, you know, talk about it so openly and honestly. So
I think it's
you.
Really important to just accept when you mess up. Everybody yeah, messes up.
100%.
And especially when you, like, I feel like I kind of grew up on social media. I went from like a girl to a woman. And yeah, of course, along the way, I'm going to have messed up. And I feel like the only way that I can like even get past it myself is to just own up to it. And I think people appreciate that a lot more.
Yeah,
than,
I think messing up is a bit hard yeah, on yourself as well, though. Like, you're not like, you didn't fucking botch yourself. Look, no, I know, like, you're like, shit, I wish I didn't do it, but you, yeah, you didn't like bottle someone around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, wasn't that deep.
So it sounds like you were going through a difficult time at the time with trolling.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you handled that a lot better now?
Yeah.
Because you seem so self-aware and you're like an open book and,
yeah,
you know, everything that you just said there. So do you find you handle that so much better? And is yeah, that because you've a really good support system?
Mm.
Is that, you know?
I think I still have a long way to go, I think. Like, as much as I handle it a lot better than I used to, I still have a long way to go. I'm very reactive. Mm. Like, I didn't grow up in the best environment. So that creates like a fight or flight mode in a person. True. And as an adult, I'm constantly in fight or flight. And I know that. I'm yeah, aware to that yeah, myself.
Mm.
So I can often be super reactive. And like, my manager will message me like, Niamh, calm down. You know what I mean? Or my friends will message me like, Niamh, it's not that deep. Like, I can get a silly comment that would never annoy me one day. And another day, go on a 10-day rant page about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as much as I think I've improved a lot and I've been trying really hard not to react anymore, I still do react sometimes and I think I still have a long way to go. I don't think anybody will ever perfect how to deal with trolls.
No way.
You're only human.
Yeah. Nor should you. I don't think there's a right etiquette. Like, yeah, feel what you feel. Something's going to make you blow up.
Yeah.
Like, show me one person who wouldn't.
Yeah. You know? And I've always been very like, okay, well, if you're mean to me, I'm going to be mean to you. But I'm trying to kind of edge away from that because, you know what, giving into that and giving people a reaction and feeling that anger and that hate, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so right, yeah,
protect your energy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You'd be fighting all day on the internet.
Yeah.
With
oh, yeah.
And I was at one point, I was literally fighting all day and I just had to say enough is enough now.
Now I'm playing Fortnite.
Yeah, now I'm playing Fortnite. Healthier.
And Irish dancing.
Yes.
You're very, because I used to be an Irish dancer, you're very, very good.
Thank
got yourself those hard shoes.
Yeah, got them.
You're committed.
Yeah, I'm 100% committed. I want to do like an adults class, but
you should. You're really, really good.
Might see my Paddy's Day Parade next year.
Yeah,
God.
You never know. First time I might need a lovely live dance.
Yeah, there you go.
Bring out like
that's a good idea.
We want to present.
Yeah,
hello. If that happens.
Yeah. Wait, that must be fun traveling around with them when you can.
Yeah.
What is that like a groupie?
If you're, a groupie is like. A groupie is like when you're just like you fancy them.
Oh,
you just follow them everywhere.
Excuse me.
Well, I guess some people probably
you're in love.
That.
In a lovely yeah, relationship. So yeah, you ain't a groupie.
Yeah.
But because I watch all the bits and bobs and it looks really fun, especially if you're going traveling with them. It must be so fun to be yeah, backstage and
yeah,
because they're
is,
so well loved.
It's very surreal, like especially like the Snoop tour,
yeah,
like getting to meet like C12, like all of those. Like it was just madness. It was really like surreal. Yeah. My dad, like literally, is always like, "Yous, our life is a joke.
Yeah,
the two of yous are a joke."
Yeah,
but yeah, it's really fun. But obviously, it's like, I don't take it for granted because it's not, it's no, him and it's his yeah, thing. I'm just grateful that he brings me along. Yeah. I'll just stand there and look pretty.
What's your favourite Versatile song?
Ooh, I have a few. I love Dublin City G's. I love Northside Arse.
They're gas names.
Red Hot. That's like, I love that one. That one will never get old.
That's and like an OG.
Ballymun 2001 and Fat Gangster Laugh. I love all them. I can't even pick one. I love all them. I have like 10 favourite songs.
Yeah, I think I love Prefontaine. Or Ketamine isn't
yeah,
bad either.
Yeah.
We put that on one night and we were like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Prefontaine was our...
Yeah.
All together now. Yeah.
Yeah, so come here. Thank you so much for coming on. And I feel like you're just such an amazing girl. And I really feel like you should consider a book or a podcast because you have so much knowledge. And I feel like your story is so relatable. And even when you said that, it reminded me of Crossroads. You know, Britney Spears, I'm not a girl,
yeah,
not yet a woman. It kind of made me feel, yeah, and the way you're sharing your story is, you know, with that. It's so relatable. Thank you. Keep going
Thank you. Don't stop.
And yeah,
and you're actually, as I say, like, you're a really lovely person. Like, I know you were saying, like, you're...
I'm blushing.
No, but you're saying, like, you'd row online all day with people. Like, you're very lovely to speak to and everything. So please don't make a podcast.
Thanks, girls. And thank you for having me.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
We do this thing on the podcast now where the last guest leaves a quezzy for the new guest. So
no, they don't ever know who the next guest is, so
it's
just whatever question they leave.
So we're gonna ask you what that question was, and then you might leave a question for the next guest.
Okay,
that's okay. So Louise Cooney left this for you. She knows you, but you're taking it. Who is the most famous person you have in your phone book?
Oh, honestly, probably my boyfriend. Does that count? Like, I don't know. People are going to be like, he's
not
famous.
Snoop Dogg. Come on.
No. I wish.
I'm going to say he doesn't count. Who's the next other person?
Honestly, I actually don't. I don't think I have any. I'm not even, like, I've had famous people in my DMs, but phone numbers.
That'll do.
Oh my God. I'm going to dig a hole here. I had, what's his name? You know, Machine Gun Kelly?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I had his drummer in my DMs, but that was like ages ago. I'm not going to name any names. I also had, I can't name names, but I had a very Irish man follow me. Followed me. I never followed him back.
Yeah.
Started liking all my stuff at like 2 a.m. It was really weird.
Oh.
Really weird vibes. Like, me and Alex would be sitting there like, what the hell? But yeah, that's probably like the weirdest thing that's ever happened. But I honestly don't have any numbers of famous people. I wish I had Snoop Dogg's number. It'd be cool to chill with Snoop Dogg.
Or to FaceTime him with baby Gaff.
What's up, Snoop?
He definitely answered well.
You're more famous. I haven't got one.
No, neither do I.
Not one.
Yeah. Neither do I.
I had Jedward.
Oh, you had Jedward?
No.
Are we talking DMs or phone numbers?
DMs. But I actually had them in my DM request, which is even more of a flex, I feel.
No way.
You're telling me to keep rocking it.
Oh!
I have been.
In the request?
Yeah.
Jethic.
Yeah. I love it. So yeah, you guys can't beat me, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have a question you'd leave?
What was your rudest encounter? Who was your rudest influencer encounter?
Oh,
I'm making the tea hot.
Yes. Love.
They're going to say me.
I am anyway.
Well, Liv, thanks so much for joining us. You're a little sweetheart.
Thanks
and we wish you all the best
in
your health and everything in life. And congrats.
You deserve the world.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you, girls. Yeah.
All right, that's enough. I'm crazy too much.
Oh my God, what a fab conversation, Ness. That was something else.
Yeah, she is like amazing to me, like gas bitch, but really like wise. So I hope everyone who listened to got a lot out of that. I know I definitely did. And you can find Niamh on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know her handle, but we'll add it in.
We will. We'll add it in.
I keep calling her Niamh. That's dead.
But thank you everyone for tuning in. And this is a Go Loud original podcast. And we will be back next Monday with a new episode for you. And this podcast was brought to you by 88 Casino. Bye.
Bye.
This is Unveiled with Niamh Cullen and Nessa Morrissey, a Go Loud original podcast. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.